Hello and welcome to this podcast, a podcast from South Sea's favourite record cafe. The purpose of this podcast is to look at some of the upcoming vinyl releases for September, talk about some of the events and some of the things going on in store, slip in a little bit of gossip and rumour if we can, and also consider things in the world of pie and music in general. I'm joined as ever by an esteemed cast of gentlemen. Steve?
Oh, sorry, you said esteemed. I did. You came to me. Hello.
Hello. Rad?
Oh, hi there.
He's there. And Tom?
Hello there.
I'm James Sandy, and around this table, in the next half hour, we will enlighten and bewilder with equal measure. And we're going to kick off, I think, with a bit of a review of the Victorious Festival, which was quite victorious because it had about 50,000 people travel through the gates of the dockyard. So
yeah, I think the local banks are definitely think it's a victorious festival. It was very good, very very good. We had a stall down there, very busy all weekend. I've got to say, the curators, the organisers, you know, big congratulations to them. It was very professional down there. It certainly didn't feel like a festival in its infancy. But there was a lovely atmosphere, and it can only be great for the city. And this is the thing, you know, we've got to look at it as in 5 years' time, you know, we can possibly get some big acts down here. And what a setting. I think that's the thing that really sets it apart from any other festival experience, is that setting. And I think every band that played on the stages there kind of remarked on playing next to the Victory, having the warships behind them. You know, a lot of festivals market themselves saying they're on the sea. Well, I mean, you can't get much nearer than the sea down there. And it's just full of history.
It's a bit wet underfoot, but in a different way, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's right, that's right. I mean, that's another point as well. The weather was good. It did look like it was going to rain at some point. But, yeah, great food. You know, the music was great. It's for families, it's for everyone. And let's hope it goes from strength to strength.
And you were down there with a stack of vinyl in your own little stall.
Yeah.
What was flying off that stall? What was selling well?
I've got to say the T-shirts. We've sort of released our new tie-dye T-shirts and our baseball T-shirts, and they sold particularly well. In terms of the records, people were picking up all sorts of things. Paul Smith from Maximo Park, he came into our little shed and was kind enough to sign a few records. Of course, they sold very strongly. The Beer of the Bang as well, they'd done an in-shed performance halfway through the day, and they sold a lot of records on the back of that, and they played in the little Johnny Russell's tent, and I missed it, but I've heard really good things. They were really good, so yeah, it was a good day.
Excellent. Well, let's talk a bit more about some of the music and some of the music acts. Rad, what caught your eye and ear when you were down at Victorious?
I mean, to be honest, like Steve said, festival in its infancy, second year running for Victorious, and for me, it's the local acts just push and dominate that entire festival. And I think something to do with maybe the location and stuff like that. People just seem to put their business jacket on for it and really smash it whenever they perform. Like all the local guys, I mean, they're great wherever they perform, but something about that location just brings the best out of them. So, like Steve said, Beer the Bang, their performance, really eager for that one. And Searchers as well, excited about that. But yeah, some of the bigger acts, obviously the Cribs, you know, I was pumped to watch the Cribs. And I did watch the Cribs, and it was thoroughly enjoyable. You know, it was good fun. Shaved years off my life, I think. And then, Maximo Park, I managed to catch sort of half of their set as well. And that also took me back, and it was just really, really good fun. I mean, you know, literally stood there, I've got a cold beer in my hand, the sun's just gone down, and I've got a stage in front of me with some decent music, and the HMS Victory, flagship of the Royal Navy.
Sounds
literally, I could have spilt beer on it, it was that close, you know.
A perfect setting, but I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah.
Now, none of you have mentioned Level 42 or Charlotte Church, so I'm going to mark you, I'm going to give you a tick for that.
I like to remember Level 42 sat in the back of my dad's car, and that's it.
That's exactly the same memory I have as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people...
Mum running the Hoover.
It's a beautiful time, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful time.
I've got to say that half the entertainment was seeing a lot of Level 42 super fans coming into our stall searching for Level 42 records. And I'd say, I'm really sorry, in a jokey way, they sold out. And they usually respond with, yeah, they're that good. And I say nothing after that.
Fair enough. Let's move on to Southsea Fest, which is coming up in the middle of September. Now, Tom, this is definitely something you know lots about.
It is, yeah. Southsea Fest, 14th of September. This is the second time we've done a Pine Vinyl stage at the event this year. well, second in a row, and we've got a much bigger sort of scale to the event this time. I mean, we've got a much bigger lineup. We've got fantastic bands all day long. And we've also extended upstairs to the wine vaults as well, where you've got a new record market as well, which you're doing for the first time this year. So lots and lots of exciting things happening this year for Southsea Fest. I think it's going to be one of the best ones yet.
So what about some of the names? What about some of the bands that are lined up to play for that?
Names wise, well, we've got a fantastic headliner, which I'll let Steve talk about in a bit. But what I'm looking forward to the most is this band called Cheetahs. Mm-hmm. They're signed with Cheetah Recordings, and they're a really exciting band. They're very progressive. For those who've listened to a band before called Male Bonding, mm-hmm. Four members of them are in Cheetahs, and they've got a new album out later on this year. I'm not sure if it's got a title yet, but we've got Splashdown on the Pine Vinyl stage, and they are a really exciting new band, probably one of the most exciting new bands I've heard in the last year or so, just because they do what they do so well. A lot of bands are trying to get that sort of surf rock kind of garage rock vibe down, and I think Splash really hit the nail on the head with what they do, and their live show is extremely entertaining as well. So they've got a strong competition up there with some of the other stages, but I think they're putting I feel like they're building a big crowd.
The Pine Vinyl stage, I'm hoping it's black and gold. I detected it, isn't it?
No. Well, I thought we were going to say, is it a pie?
It could be, but a large pie would be interesting.
One day we'll have bands playing on giant pies.
We did work on a pie suit last year, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Come through, yeah.
And is there a chance this year?
I didn't even hear back from last year.
James,
so
are you busy?
It's difficult. It's difficult for me to work with pastry, particularly on that volume. But anyway,
gluten free for James.
So, who else we got at Southsea Fest? Who else should we look out for?
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure curating the stage this year. We put a lot of hard work into it. We've actually had a lot more time, but we are up against the legendary performance by Bone Injun last year. So we've really had to pull our socks up. In saying that, we've got an exciting new Southsea band kicking the stage off for us called Purr. If you want to look them up, it's PURRR capitals.
Okay. Like an angry cat.
They're kicking things off for us, which we're really excited about. Local band wise, if we cover that first, we've got Purr, as I've just mentioned. Midway through, we've got Belly Eyes Smile. A lot of people are fully aware of them locally. Fantastic bands. That sound a lot like the Cardiacs. Fantastically tight. And then, last but not least, we've got our own label signings, Beer for Bang. They're playing on our stage for the first time. They've always played at the King's Theatre at the festival, so they're making their debut on our stage. Which makes sense. So that's our local acts. I'm looking forward to Cheetahs. I've listened to them for a while. I love Slow Dive. They remind me a lot of them. Just gorgeous melodies. So I'm pretty hyped about seeing those guys play. Also, Bloodsport, a band from Sheffield. They actually played one of our Pine Vinyl Presents, and they're fantastic. So yeah, all round, I've got a real soft spot for Veronica Falls as well, and they're one of the headliners. So, I think this year Southsea Fest has got its strongest lineup ever, and we're set for a particularly special festival.
And the date is Saturday the 14th of September.
That's right.
And you're selling tickets through Pine Vinyl.
We are. They're available in the shop now. They're priced £18. That's just a standard £18, no booking fee. On the day, if there are any tickets left, I believe they're £20. So if you are passing or buying a record, it'll pay you to just pop in and pick up a ticket or two.
Excellent. And in terms of the listings of, you know, the whole kit and caboodle, there's a website, a fabulous website I think people can look at. And I'm going to look now and find the URL on this overly detailed card.
I believe it's just southseafest.com.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you want more information, you can go on to southseafest.com by the wonders of the internet. That's where you can find more of those kind of things.
If you go onto the Pine Vinyl website as well, you'll be able to find a link to the Facebook event, which will give you a lot more details about all the acts that are playing on our stage as well. Mm. And you'll find links to all the tracks by every single artist that's playing on there as well.
That sounds beautifully integrated.
Have a little listen before you come along so you can know all the words. And
do your homework, I think, is always the advice. Yeah. Okay, we're going to move, I think, to talk about some upcoming releases for September and also some things that we've enjoyed in the month of August. And Rad, I'm going to pick on you first.
Okay, fair away, yeah.
You know, I'm like that. I'm always cruel to you.
I'm ready for that.
What have you got for our delectation?
Well, if you want to go into, you know, August and my kind of picks of the month, if you like. First, I'm sort of mentioned King Krul, really. I mean, his album dropped Saturday gone. Mm-hmm. It was a pushed release. It was an early release because I think it was his birthday. It coincided with his 19th birthday. So, super young chap, Archie. Yeah, I mean, I think his sound is really, really fresh, to be honest with you. I really appreciate it. And it's picking up some absolutely smashing reviews. I think Fly magazine gave it 80 out of 100. Observer gave it 8. I don't know why they've sort of moved into it.
Did they do
80 out of
100? Yeah. That's nearly as good as 8 out of 10, isn't it, I think?
Yeah. Which is kind of the same as 8.0.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
so the last time I heard something like that, I think Duck Hunt got that on the NES. It got 80.
Oh, yeah.
Computer Game magazine.
Maybe that's the idea. But he's kind of a, how would you describe him? He's a kind of street punk poet, is that
where
he would come from?
No, I'd veer well away from the punk.
I think
musically, it's littered with jazz. Like, the guitar work is with jazz, you know. Yeah. And that's kind of what makes it sound quite fresh, I think. Because no one's really, like you said earlier on, we were talking about like the whole grunge revival and the beach rock thing. The jazz melodies are really refreshing. It's quite nice to hear. Himself, I don't know if you can all remember this guy. It's kind of balloon that was just Jack.
Stars in their eyes.
Well, that track,
I do remember that.
If I'm perfect, I mean, the Stars in Their Eyes song, you either loved it or you hated it. And I think at the time, 2007 it was, well, you know, I liked it, bought the album, and the album is actually really, really good, that particular album. Mm. And it kind of, the King Krul's record really, really reminded me of that. It's got that kind of dark, sort of Shadows of London sort of feel to it. Mm. And I mean, I think The Enemy actually said, what did they say? They said, a debut that captures the atmosphere of contemporary London in all of its bleak and lonely glory. And, you know, I think that the general angle that most people have taken is that, you know, in times of austerity and stuff like that, like the youngs that are coming up are kind of they've got the weight of the world on their shoulders at the moment, and that's being reflected in their music. And
it's really urban, isn't it?
It's very urban, but it's
got that real urban drawl, that kind of almost grimy kind of vocal.
Yeah, exactly.
They need to relax some and get down to the coast.
Well, there's a great record
cafe
down there.
Yeah, I can think of some places they should go.
Yeah, come and do an in-store, Archie. But you know, elements of it reminded me of the KLF, and I know he's a big kind of post-dubstep, Vince Post fan. But you know, his work with Mal Kimby, I've got the Mal Kimby record, is one of my favourites this year actually, and works really well. And he's a talented musician, and he's 19 years old.
Yeah.
He's just thinking outside the box a bit and doing things on his own terms. So, yeah, I think he'll be around for a while, exciting. Yeah.
Jamie T always springs to mind when I think of King Krul.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I mean, they're part of the same school. I mean, that whole kind of, I get what you said about the poetry, because it is kind of spoken word, you know, like to a certain extent, but the King Krul's definitely got the grime thing going on.
I wouldn't put him in that. Jamie T, I think he personally for me deserves a little bit better, you know. I think he's warranted. It's been a long time coming. I mean, he's been on the radio for quite a while, and we've been promised. He's released certain tracks, you know, last year there was a little EP. We tried to book him, didn't we, for My Vinyl Presents at the start of last year. And we were always promised, you know, he's on to big things. And let's hope he is, because I think we could really do with a new, exciting, fresh youngster that's doing things on his own terms. It doesn't necessarily fall into any particular fashion. So good luck to him. Yeah.
Okay, well, Tom, let's come to you. What's been aggravating your stylus in August?
I think generally August has been a bit of a quieter month for things that have caught my eye. New Smith Weston's record is a very good one. Yeah, I mean, it's if you know Smith Westerns, then come out to their third album. The first record was quite extremely lo-fi, extremely, like, devoid of all sort of sound. And then the second one just sort of springs to life and is more of a glam rock sort of escapade type thing. And, you know, the third one, it's kind of just stuck to the same formula. And I think sometimes bands, they nail something, why not put out more of the same sometimes, you know? There's always this pressure to come up with, like, a progression or to go and do something a bit different. And it's just back-to-back pop hits, really.
I guess it's quite poppy, isn't
it?
Yeah.
I guess when you get to album 20, that you might need to revise that strategy. But
yeah, I mean, whether Smith Westerns will be a band that do that, I don't know.
It's worth it, Proclaimers.
Indeed.
But, you know, it's easy to listen to. I find myself almost putting it on because you just find there's little nagging bits of the tunes that come back into your head that you just want to listen to it one more time. I mean, it does trail off towards the end, but there are some solid songs on there, definitely.
Mm. Steve, what about you?
Well, almost the opposite to Tom's kind of easy listening, poppy tone, fuzzy records. I've gone for Pinkanoisu. They're a band, I purchased their record in here actually last year. A Danish band from Copenhagen. It's very textured, the arrangements are all over the place, it's fairly hard to listen to. You do need to kind of concentrate, but when it's sunk in, it's absolutely fabulous. It's a really, really strong record. I think it helps me that I did get on particularly well with their previous record. They've got a bit more texture in this one, a bit more kind of electronic influences. It's very psychedelic, but at the same time, the biggest compliment I could pay it is that I've not really heard anything too much like it, and it keeps you on your toes just when you think you've got the arrangement sussed. A female voice that sounds like it's 8 miles away just comes in, and a different guitar riff will take you somewhere else, and it's very much like that. So I've really, really enjoyed that, and it's probably one of my favourite records of the year as well.
Now, that's a colourful name that people are probably going to struggle to Google, so just reiterate that for us.
Well, it's spelled Pinkunoisu, but I believe it's pronounced Pinkanoisu. It means pink noise in Danish.
Okay.
So it's called The Drop. The record before was called Free Time. And yeah, it's fabulous. Really, really enjoy listening to it. But yeah, be prepared to give it a bit of time to breathe.
Excellent. Well, one thing that's come up on my radar in the merry month of August, which has flown by a bit too quickly in some ways, but there's a record that Pokey Lafarge, there's a great name, Pokey Lafarge, sounds like he should make cement or something, I don't know, but he's put out a record which is described as American Roots. Now, I think pretty much anything that involves a guitar and an American voice comes out as roots music these days, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But I think really his sound is quite interesting, because there's a kind of nostalgic sort of ragtime jazz element to what he's trying to do, but he's trying to kind of do it in a modern context, which is an interesting mix. It reminded me, I was saying to Steve earlier, it reminded me a bit of the CJ Stone King,
CW Stone King,
that was it. And so it was that kind of thing, and he was a bit more sort of, you know, had sort of an empirical jungle element to his
Yeah,
he's
quite
work.
Soulful, wasn't he? CW.
Yeah, but
the
Pokey Lafarge thing is worth, I think, having a look at. It's kind of bluesy and kind of jazz influence, but it's quite different. And it doesn't, if you listen to it, it doesn't fit in the 30s or the 40s.
Right.
It fits very much in this time. And it's quite quirky.
Blues and jazz seem to be the sort of big stimulant ideas
surrounding
all sorts of music this year. I mean, you've got King Cruel taking jazz, you've got them then incorporating electronica and Mount Kimby.
Yeah.
You've got a lot more traditional Americana artists as well. You've got people like Drench taking blues and giving it a rougher edge as well.
I guess there's strands that kind of don't disappear, but it's just sort of level people use them and emphasise them.
I guess an important thing to say with Pokey Lafarge is that it's a third man record. And that should hopefully paint a picture in everyone's head.
Yeah.
So Mr. Jack White, as we all know, is a particular fan of a very traditional but with a very modern edge to it, music. So and he does it very well. Just for the front cover, I love the front cover. It's just kind of Jack White.
Even looks like a Third Man record.
You look at the front cover,
you know, it's got that kind of portrait photograph of Pokey himself on the front, and just the way it's lit, the way he's wearing, the way his hair is, everything about it just oozes.
It's almost kind of, it looks a little bit like a sort of Tim Burton film cover, doesn't it? It's got that kind of sort of Halloween
element. And it's similar to the music, you know. It's almost like they're dead. They're kind of zombies.
It's like a tin type.
They're white, and Jack White, you know, likes his white skin and three colour fits.
Indeed.
It's kind of always going to be interesting if that man's got anything to do with it. So.
Okay, well, let's shift to some horizon scanning, but we're only going to look into the future for September, which is fastly upon us. And there's some interesting stuff coming out in September, and there's also a lot of stuff coming out in September. Steve, you sent us all a list of things that are coming out, and I think we're still printing it. I think
we are. You can hear the printer printing.
You can hear the daisy wheel spinning.
It's to be honest, every month this year, and it says about music in general, which is a great thing. There's just so many releases every month. But yeah, September seems to be a particularly strong month, which will go into October, which will be another even stronger month in my opinion, but we'll save that for the next podcast.
We will.
So I've just highlighted a few big ones that obviously we'll be stocking, and that the guys are particularly looking forward to. Big Chelsea Wolf fan. If you haven't heard of Chelsea Wolf, check her out. Pain is Beauty, that's coming out. Holograms, similar to Ice Age. King Khan in the Shrine, sorry. Nico Case, you know, it's getting very strong reviews. Nico Case, also in the New Pornographers, doing a solo thing, always very pretty. First big album, really, released in September, is the new Nine Inch Nails record. So, you know, a lot expected of that. I know Rad's a big fan, so...
Yeah, I'm a big fan, but I'm also apprehensive as well, because I think Trent Reznor, like, I mean... The literal list that guy has to his name with regards to works, he's constantly spitting out soundtracks left, right, and centre, and everything else. And I'm curious as to which direction he's going to go in with it. He kind of went down the whole. I can't remember, Year Zero is the last album that I purchased of his. I know he's done stuff since, but that was the last one I bought, and that was the one he released where he did like a digital version of it as well. That you could go online and download the files from the record, and he invited you to remix it and send it back, and there was a competition involved and stuff. So, you know, I'd be curious to see what he does with it, which direction it goes. I like old school traditional Nine Inch Nails, you know, kind of tiny little pants, you know, leather, long hair.
That's the thing, he's looking so good. He's sorted himself out, he's been to the gym lots.
He looks like a lumberjack now.
I've seen photos of them playing live recently. And he's this big hunk on stage.
He's just a monster, yeah.
He's a big pumped up gym guy.
I don't think they've really put anything out as a band for about 5 years, I think. It's been
a while. It's been a while.
Was it The Slip, I think, was the last album around?
I'm not sure. As I said, the last one I purchased was Year Zero, and that was
he's been involved with, Destroyed by Angels?
How to Destroy Angels.
How to Destroy Angels, that sounds right.
And also he's done quite a lot of work with on soundtracks. So yeah, a lot of kind of... instrumental kind of post-rocky stuff, I think, from Trent Reznor, you know, with an electric edge to it, because that's kind of where he sits, isn't it?
Well, Tom, what are you saving your pocket money up for September? You got something in your sights?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of things that I'm excited about in September. I mean, the first one that springs to mind, and it's not something that I would usually actually go for, but the new MGMT record looks to be very interesting. Just because they had a music video, and I don't know if anyone's seen it, but it's probably one of the most entertaining music videos I've seen this year.
I watched you watch it.
Yeah.
I saw you seeing it, and
I was having a great time.
It could be a whole new genre, couldn't it? Watching you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so out there, and the track itself is extremely repetitive. There's hardly any lyrics, but musically, it's all over the place. But I just, for some reason, there's just, deep down, there's some kind of hook there that just keeps you coming back in for more. Uh-huh. I've heard all sorts of things about it. I've heard it's terrible. I've heard it's amazing. I've heard that people are really impartial to it. But that's what I love about that record. It's got people talking, and I think it's definitely going to be worth checking out.
Uh-huh. Can't wait for that. They just, again, do things on their own terms. Yeah. People expect them to make the same record. They don't. You know, it's great. It's great.
It's a crossover record, well, band anyway, I think, because obviously they had massive success with their debut, and I think they attracted a lot of fans that they didn't expect to, and it's those types of fans they'll be expecting, you know, this another sort of summer anthem album, and they won't give them it, and I love it.
I've got to say, controversial, but I prefer Congratulations to their first album. I love that record. So good. So good.
Throwing a bit of controversy in there. She's always good.
Yeah, sorry, listeners. shall I carry on and run through?
Go on.
And then if anyone's
go on.
To shout on
what else? What else is coming up in September for us that we should look out for?
We have got Ockerville River, very exciting, great band. They're back with their probably fifth, sixth, seventh album, something like that. Volcano Choir, that's actually out on Monday. So that's Bon Iver. He's fronting his band, previous release, so good reviews on that one. And then we're up to Arctic Monkeys, which is another massive release for September, and for them, called AM, who knows. So, yeah, I've heard three of their singles, and they all have very similar chords. But I kind of like that, you know.
You don't need any more than three.
No, it's going to sell by the bucket load, but hopefully this one will be a bit better than the last two, in my humble opinion. What do you guys?
Yeah, I mean, sort of Glastonbury, they were brilliant. They were brilliant. I mean, I've always, it's been a kind of guilty pleasure of mine, the Arctic Monkeys. And, I'm
excited. Tony's lyrics. Such a good contemporary lyric writer.
We're talking about King Krule earlier. I mean, Turner was the same thing, wasn't he? Like, the Arctic Monkeys, when they first came out, really, really young guys, and just completely stopped everyone dead in their tracks with what they were doing. And I think, you know, I don't think he stopped doing that. I think he's still very provocative. And there is like a massive element of poetry to what he writes. And yeah, the three chord thing, yeah.
But it's great. It's very much your purpose.
Yeah, why
so.
Not?
I think that's a good thing about it. You know, Veronica Fool's album this year is basically one song kind of turned into 11. It's great. Factory Floor, very excited for that record, getting very good reviews. Yeah. Golf Rap, we've got London Grammar with their debut. They were quite good, saw them play in the summer, quite impressive, good voice. The Weeknd, Willis L. Beale second. I know, Tom, you're a bit of a fan.
Yeah, I love Willis L. Beale. I mean, Willis L. Beale's first record is the first record I actually bought in Pine Vinyl. So there's a fact
excellent.
For you, yeah.
Should get a plaque. Mine, actually, isn't it? Yeah, should get a plaque.
And, it's I just love it because it had this really nice cassette hiss to it. It had, like, a really raw sound. And if you go and see him live, the fact that he comes out with his little boombox, sits on the side, just lets the music play on a loop and will just blast his voice into a microphone.
Tape, doesn't it? It's like a tape to tape, yep. Similar to Dirty Beach.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of thing, yeah.
And you got to see his voice to believe it because it's so deep and coarse and just raw. And he's actually released a new single yesterday or the day before, I think, with Cat Power. And it's got a little slightly poppier edge to it. I think he needs that to kind of gain a bit of a bigger audience. It was quite a niche sound
open
in his first record, yeah.
Yeah.
But I can imagine there's going to be some really, really interesting sounds. I couldn't even begin to describe to you what that album's going to sound like. I'm really excited for it.
It's great. He's very much a loner, isn't he, in the way he performs.
There's a massive isolation to the sound as well. Like, it sounds like it's got a huge atmosphere to it, but an empty one at that.
I'm going to risk aging myself here, but I'm very excited about the Peter Gabriel release that's coming out at the end of September, which is the second part of his Song Swap project. I don't know if you've picked up any of the stuff that he's been doing. Peter Gabriel is someone that doesn't release records very often. You know, he's in that David Bowie category of he can do it at his own pace, at his own time. Now, he did an album, I think, about 3 years ago where he got other bands to record his songs and he helped kind of arrange them and work them out. Now, they're returning the favour and they're coming back to do some of his songs.
Oh, well.
So the original album was called Scratch My Back, and the follow-up is called And I'll Scratch Yours. Great timing.
Yeah.
You can get it in a couple of formats. You can buy the two together, or you can buy, if like me, you were desperate to get it 3 years ago, you can just buy the I'll Scratch Yours standalone. Now, just to give you an idea of some of the songs and the people on here, David Byrne appears doing the Peter Gabriel I Don't Remember. You've got to be a bit of a Peter Gabriel fan to walk through this.
It's like a compilations album, is it?
It's kind of like re-recorded tracks? It's kind of like that. So Peter Gabriel did a track on the first album. He did a cover of Talking Heads' The Listening Wind, which was absolutely amazing. Really, really, really worth listening. You've got Bon Iver doing Come Talk To Me, which is potentially an interesting take. You can listen to snippets online at the moment, so they're really kind of ratcheting up the anticipation. Randy Newman is on there doing Big Time. I don't know if you remember Big Time, but it was a hit for Peter Gabriel, kind of late 80s. So I'll be interested to hear that one. Arcade Fire are doing Games Without Frontiers, which probably everyone hears in the car at least twice a day, I think, if you tune into certain radio stations. Elbow are doing Mercy Street, which is a great song for them to choose. Peter Gabriel himself did a version of Mirrorball. Look at the Elbow song, which was quite a nice sort of version of it, but not that different actually from the Elbow Elbow version. But the one to look out for, the one to listen out for, is Lou Reed doing his version of Salisbury Hill.
Wow.
Now, Salisbury Hill is famously the first Peter Gabriel post-Genesis song that he did about his liberation from the band. Okay, Lou Reed has done a very different take on it. It's very growly, very locked out of my car in a car park kind of feel. let's say that. So that's one I'm quite excited about. I think that one is
Feist as well, Paul Simon.
It's got all those kind
it's
of people.
Proper. It's a real sledgehammer.
It does sound really good, actually.
It's worth looking at. I think there are planned some quite luxurious vinyl versions of it. So
nice.
I have to look out through that from Real World, I think it comes out from, which is his own label.
Okay.
Now, to counter that, there's Mark Lanyon of the Screaming Trees and other things has also come out with something called Imitations, which is just a straight covers album, which I would recommend steering clear of, because he's picked very strange songs. He seems to have picked Tindersticks and Nick Cave stuff to cover, which isn't that much different from his own vocal range, I would suggest. One to potentially avoid there.
Yeah.
I did mention earlier I wanted to just throw in a Blu-ray release that I'm excited about. It doesn't come out until October, but it's been out, I think, in the cinemas already, which is the Morrissey 25 Live, which the poster alone is worth going to see, I would suggest. There's a picture of Morrissey in a white suit with big specs pointing at someone.
Great.
Looking a little bit like Elvis.
That's extremely Morrissey.
So you've got to go and have a look at that. So, anyway, but we're going to move now, I think, to talk about some of the exciting in-stores that you've got coming up here in Pine Vinyl.
We have got one confirmed. We are extremely proud to have in-store Ethan Johns. Glyn Johns, who produce Let It Be, and look him up, basically. It's a who's who of absolute classic albums. Ethan Johns, he famously produced Kings of Leon, Youth and Young Manhood. He was involved with them very early on. Laura Marling. He's produced a few kind of later records as well, a few poppier records, but he's finally decided it's time to release his own stuff. So he's at the Wedge of Rooms, and he's kindly going to play for us. The times will be announced soon on the website, but we're hoping to announce that it will be around 6 o'clock. So those guys who work will be able to come in and watch him. So yeah, an absolute legend. Of course, Ryan Adams is another one that he's produced and is very good friends with. So he's up there with one of the most famous people we've had in the store. So
we will have to try and corner him in the back room and interview him in some way.
Yeah.
We'll be gentle on him as we always are.
So that's September the 18th. So have a look on our website for more details. That's the only one we can announce at the moment. We've got a few more that we're very close to announcing. So I don't want to tempt fate.
Teasing us there
slightly.
What about the element of this podcast I always call murky gravy, which is rumours? And this is rumours of albums or musical things that are coming up. Have we got any of those lined up? Have we got any things that we've heard about that might be oozing out of the record industry soon?
Well, you know, day by day, these rumours are turning into actual facts. So I don't know. I've run out of rumours. I mean, RK Fire was a rumour and now it's happening, so...
Well, RK Fire is happening, yeah. I mean, I was back at Visions Festival a couple of weeks ago that I went to, which is a great new little festival that's up in London. It's brought to you by the people who did Sex Beat and Radfest as well. I saw Cloud Nothings play. Their new material was mind-blowing, you know? You take, like, if you know the last Cloud Nothings record, Attack on Memory, is produced by Steve Albini, so you've got that really, really extreme...
Has it been announced that he's doing the second?
It hasn't, no, but it sounds like it could potentially be, or they've just learned a lot from him and that they're incorporating into the new track. If you really enjoyed that record and you enjoyed the more faster, sort of more ferocious tracks on that, then the new songs are just even... more intense, and got me pumped for that. I've heard it might be out towards the end of this year, if not January time.
That's it,
without
a
doubt.
We need to save some for next year.
Yeah,
because there's too many.
It's crazy.
Too many.
Absolutely crazy.
Just when you
we
think,
need to shut that floodgate.
Yeah, you know, let's save it for 2014. And the thing is, though, seriously, it's only good for music, and it's just, you know, this year has been phenomenal so far. The amount of releases, and you know, you can only say that people are buying records and buying music, and that's why they're being released. So long may it continue.
Indeed. Mm. So we're nearly to the end of our time. But for more information on the wonderful pies and vinyl available at Pie and Vinyl, surprisingly, you can go to www.pieandvinyl.co.uk.
Okay.
It's the place to go.
Can I just... Sorry, James.
Go on.
I said I'd say it for Rob. Rob sponsored Pie of the Month.
Oh, the Pie of the Month.
The Pie of the Month.
I nearly missed it out.
I know, Rob can't be here tonight.
Is he eating the Pie of the Month?
He has, I've had it as well.
It's got to be tested.
The Pie of the Month is the double cheeseburger pie. I know some of you guys have probably heard about it. It's a double patty, really good quality beef patty, with cheese and gherkins, surrounded by barbecue sauce in a light pastry.
A light pastry. Should be called the Elvis burger, I think.
Yeah, it's zero calories. It's a diet pie. But yeah, that's our Pie of the Month. You've tried it, Brad.
Yes, I've tried it several times. Yeah. And just to dispel any rumours, any nasty rumours, there are no seeded buns inside this pie.
Oh.
It is just the meat and the toppings. But it's phenomenal. It literally is phenomenal. It smells great, it looks great, and it tastes even better.
I
think that's my lunch tomorrow.
Have to get down and taste one very soon.
Yes, yeah, come down, and they sell out as soon as they're on the menu. So yeah, come down early.
Very popular.
They'll be on this weekend, I believe.
And it's one of our own as well.
It's one of our own. It's a pie, vinyl pie.
You heard it here first.
We're very proud of that. Yeah.
So for now, to Steve, to Rad, to Tom, that's it for this podcast. We'll be back next month, and hope you enjoyed that. And stay tuned for the next one.
Bye.
Thanks.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.